Georgia. Oh yeah. I get my from California. That's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah.
This is the Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA. Agree or disagree, we want to hear from you. Text us at 580-580. Please include your name and where you're texting from.
With an almost 100-year-old building for a hospital right now, the Ottawa Hospital's new civic campus is slowly moving through the process. City Council has now approved a master site plan. It already had approval from the Planning Committee and by the National Capital Commission. It's on federal land, so that had to be done. So we're moving along now. How quickly, what does that actually mean? I don't know. The CEO of the Ottawa Hospital probably does. Cameron Love is on the line. Good morning.
Morning, Bill. How are you?
Good. So where does this put us in the system? What's next?
So we're at a pretty exciting period of time. So with the recent approvals with City Council and the NCC, we've had approval from Infrastructure Ontario. So we're now what we'll call into the implementation phase. So we're starting into stage three, and we're scheduled to start construction of the new building January 24. So we're into the final sort of the final tier of design to build the new building starting 24, and we'll start some initial elements with the parking garage, central utility plant, et cetera. Those will start in advance probably next spring, summer.
Yeah, nothing to it, right? It was so easy to get this far.
Yeah. Well, it's such a critical project for us, as you know, Bill. I mean, when you look at this city, and you look at healthcare for the future, which is probably one of the most important cornerstones to any community. If you look at any major city across the globe, healthcare is always a cornerstone. And having lived through the pandemic, I think it's probably more important than what we've realized in the past. And so, if you look at the Ottawa Hospital, we provide about 70% of all adult acute care across the region. The region spanning from Barry's Bay to Hawkesbury down to Cornwall, all of Western Quebec, all of Nunavut. But we also provide 100% of all the complex services, things like trauma, neurosciences, vascular surgery, all of cardiac care, and it's all out of the Civic Campus. So when you think about the health and the future of health for our citizens in this region, this community, and generations to come, this is probably one of the most important healthcare projects we have done in the last century, and it'll be a building block to health for at least the next 50 years.
Can't be easy to build a hospital in any city these days, because if the city's already developed, you're probably on a fairly good lot as it is, but you can't close it, tear it down, and build a new one. You have to find a new location for obvious reasons. So it's difficult everywhere because you want it to be central, and land is hard to come by centrally, and you're going to have battles, especially when you're in Ottawa, and we so love that green space, right? That farm is beloved, and people will fight over it. So you've had a tough battle. Do you feel like most of those battles are behind you, especially on the parking garage issue, which was a bit of a mystery to me because the parking garage looked fine to me, but that's been a hot button. Do you think you're past most of the political battles now?
Yeah, I think, you know what, we've had tremendous support. And, you know, like any major project, when you go through consultation phases, and the whole process of going through consultation is to get perspective from all different angles across the community, and in this case, across the region. And we've made a lot of changes for two principal reasons over the last year, 2 years, since we put out the initial designs. One was because of the consultation and starting to think about how, you know, access is such an important point and how we make changes to that design. The other thing that's changed dramatically for us is internal to the building or the building design and what we've learned through the pandemic. And so you're right. I mean, there's the challenge with healthcare development, particularly in urban cities, is you tend to make a lot of compromises on what you'd want to do because you don't either have available land or available space. The benefit that we've got in this region, which we've had tremendous support for, is we've got a 50-acre parcel of land that we're able to build a world-class facility and not make those compromises that end up costing in the future, whether it's from the point of view of efficiency, access, and or capacity. And so there's no piece of land anywhere on the planet that doesn't come with challenges. And we've, you know, each land has different challenges you have to work through. And I'm pretty confident that we've worked through a lot of them. But through this next phase of design, we'll continue to make some amendments. We're going to go through another consultation phase. But I think as a community, we can be very, very proud and very positive of the fact that we have an opportunity here to build a world-class center that I guarantee will be the envy of what many cities would like to have across Canada.
When do you think you'll see the first patient there?
2028 is what we're looking at. I mean, you go through these in phases. What I'm very confident is that our start time in around the beginning of 24, whether it's January, whether it's March, will be determined as we get through the next stages with Infrastructure Ontario, but we're scheduled to start. Based on the construction schedule, this size of building, this size of development is estimated to take somewhere between 3 and 4 years. Those details will be finalized, obviously, as we close the RFP process with Infrastructure Ontario and get a confirmed schedule. But
preparing the site's got to be a months long process. No.
Oh yeah. Like it is a very large project. I mean, you're into spending almost 70, 80 million a month for 3-4 years as you build this building. So it is probably one of the largest. It is one of the largest projects that Ottawa has ever experienced. It's one of the largest healthcare projects in Canada. But the outcome of it will just be spectacular.
You mentioned the pandemic in passing there. So yeah. Before I let you go.
Yeah.
Where are we at Civic right now in terms of that? I mean, we see the numbers every day. It looks encouraging that the number of people in hospital is dropping, the number of people in ICU is dropping. Do you feel like you're handling it fairly well? You're not pushed to limits?
Yeah, I'd say stable is the right word. If you had asked me in the beginning of September, Bill, I think everyone's concern across Ontario or across Canada was what were the first sort of 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks going to look like with school starting back. But now that we're through Thanksgiving and we've been into this for about 6 weeks, we are quite stable. We've had over the course of the month of September into early October, somewhere between 5 and 10 COVID patients, and we have about 1,200 beds. So 5 to 10 COVID patients is very, very manageable, and we're seeing a lot of stability around that number. I mean, it fluctuates by ones and twos, but it's not like we saw in wave three where we're springing up to 40, 50, 60, 80 COVID patients. We've been hovering around that 5 to 10 consistently. So I think we can have some confidence that the stability around that is very good. We're not seeing the high numbers in the community. I mean, they're ranging between 20 and 50. Which is far more stable than what we saw in wave three, and we've got very good capacity. So yeah, we're in very good shape.
We keep hearing reports though that when people get sick with Delta, you may not have many people in hospital, but you have a few for a long time. Is that your experience in Ottawa too?
Yeah, depending on, I mean, each patient instance obviously has its own set of circumstances, but the recovery period for many patients can be quite long. And so we have seen some short stay patients, thankfully, and others that there is a longer duration, particularly if they come through ICU and then they're into acute and then they have some type of recovery issues that may take months to fully recover from, and they're into various rehab programs. So yeah, we do see those, and we see them more with Delta. The numbers are lower, but those cases that are coming in, they do have longer recovery periods.
Well, I'll let you get back to running a hospital every day, and I have this feeling that large blueprints get unrolled on your desk fairly often as well.
Yeah, it's an exciting time. It's great.
Yeah. Do you look at them, go, what? Show me what this means. What's this structure over here again?
That's right. Yeah, it'll be a busy few years of development, but an exciting time.
Easy to draw a parking garage, not so easy to build one, as we found out.
Yep.
Thanks for your
Very
time.
True. Thanks, Bill. Good to talk to you.
Well, relatively easy. I could not draw a parking garage structure. Not if you want it to be, you know, able to stand when cars park in it. Cameron Love, CEO of the Ottawa Hospital. The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.
Today with Matt Harris.
Boy, I'm reading these Brown Sugar lyrics, and how'd I miss that?
Yeah, I know. I know, me too.
I'm serious. That song's been around since I was a kid. I don't pay any attention to the lyrics, and Mick Jagger can be a little hard to understand. But did you know the opening line is Gold Coast slave ship bound for cotton fields, sold in the market down in New Orleans? I sort of guess I knew the second line, but Sky Dog Slaver knows he's doing all right. Hear him whip the women just around midnight. I never paid attention to that before.
No, me neither.
I feel really dumb. Now I got to go back and hear the song and see if it's really... I guess now that I've read it, it'll be really obvious what he's singing.
Jeez. Huh.
Learn something every day. So, Matt,
okay.
Teach me.
So here's what we've got. Gabby Petito, the case. I just want to give you a quick update here. Yesterday we told you that her cause of death was ruled to be strangulation, right? Now the lawyer for Brian Laundrie, that's her fiance, his family lawyer released a statement yesterday saying it's such a tragedy that she died at such a young age. And he reminded people Brian Laundrie is currently charged only with unauthorized use of a debit card and is only considered a person of interest in her, quote, demise, and that when he is located, they will address the pending fraud charge against him. The mom then commented to local TV station WFLA, Gabby Petito's mom, and said his words are, quote, garbage. That's your update.
Something about using demise in that context.
I didn't like that. Yeah.
Right? It devalues her life.
100%.
Her terrible death.
It's all that lawyer speak. Just come out, show some emotion.
Yeah.
Or don't say anything at all if that's what you're going to write. I didn't like
it. All right. What else do you have for us?
Okay. So this is really cool, and it's been floating around online for the last 12 hours or so. This guy's name is Jamie Costa. Now, he's an actor, a comedian, and an impressionist. He's done some voice acting and some stuff that you might know. Not so much that you would know his role, but you would know some of the movies, some of the animated shows that he's done. But he has a YouTube page where he posts some videos of him doing impressions. And this one has gone crazy viral. So he's made to look like he's on the set of Mork and Mindy with an actress named Sarah Murphy. Now, they're not in the characters of Mork and Mindy, but they're in the characters of Robin Williams and Pam Dunbar, where they are just talking before filming, if you can imagine.
The actors on the set of Mork
exactly.
and Mindy.
That's so they're dressed as the actors who are then dressed in costume on the set of Mork and Mindy.
I got you. You're not Chrystia Freeland. I actually understood you.
So there you go. So with that in mind, people have seen his impression, and they're thoroughly blown away. Now, I watched it first with just the audio, so I think this is going to work. I want you to hear the first part of it here.
Well, calling Orson. Come here, Orson.
Robin?
I gotta try another thing here. More calling Orson.
There's something I can tell.
Come in, your fatitude! Waller! Hello, Orson. Falling asleep on the job again, Waller. No, your immenseness. Just working on my report on dreams.
Dreams?
Well, dreams are a beautiful aspect of human culture. In fact, it happens when you're at night and you close your eyes and all kinds of images happen and it's really bizarre.
Well, let's try this one. Well, it depends on all you ask. If you ask Cinderella, she might sing it to you and say,
Robin?
A dream is a wish your heart...
Robin!
Thought he did a pretty good job there.
Wow.
Right?
So that's now, not Robin Williams.
No, this is my guy, Jamie Costa. Now, Pam is trying to get Robin's attention because she has some bad news that she wants to break to him, and he's on one of his great rants. She finally gets his attention right at the end when you heard her yell, Robin. Let's see what goes on.
John Belushi died last night.
What?
They found him in his bungalow this morning.
No. I told you I was with him. John's not dead. I was with him last night.
I know you were. I'm so sorry, Robin.
No. Not John. Did they say anything like how he died?
Wow.
I don't understand why he's doing it, but boy.
I don't know why he's doing it either. He posted it to his YouTube page and it's gone crazy viral. A lot of people saying he should play Robin Williams in a biopic or something. There's a talent there that needs to be mined, I guess.
You'll put it on our social media?
I'm going to go put it on our Facebook page right now.
The Morning Rush, Bill Carroll.